Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing like praising the Lord. He's worthy of the praise. Amen. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. We can boast in his goodness. We can boast in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure you figured out by now, our visitors, that I'm not Pastor Joel, but I am standing in for him tonight. I'm very grateful for Pastor Joel and Mrs. Pepe. I'm so grateful that they are our pastors and our leaders, and I love them so dearly. I'm grateful for the love that they show to us as a church and even as a staff. And I can't tell you how many, many times and many ways they have helped me be the young man that I am today. So I'm grateful for Pastor Joel and Miss Pepe. Well, tonight we're going to be talking, of course, the Word of God. And as we know, in that of being a believer, in that of being a Christian, there is a life that Jesus promised us right here on earth. You know, as you think about it, he walked on earth as our example. Not only that, we are able to read in the Bible what he did. You know, he left us many, many clues on how we can be successful in that of the life of being a Christian. And so with that in mind, I even remember when I rededicated my life to the Lord 9 years ago, about the 30th time. I'm pretty sure you all didn't have to do that. But in doing that 9 years ago, you know, I was like, Lord, really, is this the Christian life that you're talking about? You know, is this what really being a Christian is all about? Did I give up the world for this? I mean, like, Lord, really, you know, where's the fun side in that of being a Christian? Where is this life that you experience? And so I remembered it. I'm so grateful that I kept, you know, on going to church and continuing to read the word there in church and even in my personal time. I came across this clue that the Lord gave us that he wanted us to do after we become born again, after we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So let's look at this clue. Let's turn into our Bibles. Matthew the 11th chapter in the 28th verse. And also to ushers, they're going to be in the aisles at this time. If you don't have a Bible, we got you covered. Just raise your hands. They will gladly put a Bible in your hand. If you have a Bible app, it's okay to use your Bible app. No usher will be standing over your shoulder making sure that you're not on Facebook or Twitter. We're not going to do that. We just trust that you're using the Bible app. So have free course at that. Amen. Well, let's look at this clue starting in Matthew 11, chapter 28, what the Lord left us. As it said, come unto me, Jesus is saying, it's in red. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about it. When we got born again, Jesus gave us automatically eternal rest, meaning when you and I leave this earth, we will experience heaven. Thank God we will never see hell. We will experience heaven. He said, I will give you rest. So we have that rest. Now let's look at this clue that Jesus gave us to do after being born again. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Everybody underline that for me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. Notice he said ye, meaning you. I will find rest unto our souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, before we go into details with verse 29 about this clue that he left us with, I want to clear up verse 30, this one word. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this burden that is being talked about, that Jesus is talking about, this is not a burden where Jesus is bringing pain to you, or that where Jesus is taking something from you to teach you a lesson or that he's trying to get your attention. This is not what burden means here, but Jesus reveals in John 10:10 with that type of burden. And he talks about the thief. Everybody remembers that the thief come into what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that Jesus is going about doing bad. He's going about what? Doing good. And I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to read in the Bible that Jesus is doing good and then he gets to heaven and now automatically he wants to do bad. It would be no purpose in even serving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. So we realize in the Bible that Jesus here is talking about doing good to us. Now, he even clears up that at the end of John 10:10, that I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Now, burden in this context in the Greek, this is the word. I'm going to spell it to you. Spell it for you. It's P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. And it's pronounced phorcheion. Burden here means task, service. Remember that word service. We're going to see it again. Service. And in the Thayer's concordance, it means obligation. Now, think about it. Now that you and I are saved, we're born again, there are certain responsibilities that Jesus are asking us to carry out. There's an obligation that Jesus is asking us to fulfill. Now, remember that word service. We're going to come back to it. We're going to see it in scripture. So let's go back to this clue that Jesus is telling us about in verse 29, as he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn in the Greek word here is the word mantheno, which is M-A-N, spelled M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O, mantheno, which means to increase one's knowledge, to hear, be informed, to learn by use and practice, to be in the habit of, accustomed to. You and I should be accustomed to learning the word of God as a born believer, as a Christian. You and I should be accustomed. We should be learning the use of the word of God and putting it into practice. You know, think about it. Jesus was faced with basically the same things that we are faced with in life today. And you and I, we must learn how Jesus dealt with and faced when it came to sickness, when it came to disease, when it came to accusation, when it came to rejection, when it came to being what betrayed, when it came to even temptation, even how he handled victory, joy, comfort, and peace. Notice the obligation is upon us to learn. The student is forever learning of the word of God. Now let's go into, turn into our Bibles. We're already in the Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And on the screens, go to Joshua 1 and 8 for me. Let's look at what we are to be learning. Because think about it, as we learn that of what Jesus did, how he walked on this earth, he is our example, we're going to find rest. We're not going to find struggle. We're not going to find lack. We're going to find rest. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we'll start reading there. Notice we're learning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is your reasonable burden, your reasonable service. So the first thing he's asking us to do, to present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto him, meaning our bodies used to do different things. And now we're born again. Our bodies, we're not doing those things anymore. We're carrying out the service for him. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what are we learning? We're learning the perfect will of God, that good will, that pleasing will, that perfect will of God for our lives. And as we learn that perfect will of God for our lives, there will be rest unto our souls. Think about it as we find out the perfect will of God, where we're to be, who we are to marry, you know, the job that we are to work, the house we are to buy, learning about sickness and disease, we will find rest unto our souls. Let's look here at Joshua 1 and 8. Now, we know the story of Joshua. Joshua was basically a leader there in that of helping Moses. And Moses has passed. And now Joshua, the children of Israel, they're about to come upon inheriting the promised land. Now, let's look at what the instruction on that Jesus gave, I mean, the God gave to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Does that sound like rest to you? Amen. Think about it. Joshua is about to inherit the promised land. He's about to walk in that inheritance. But God still leaves a clue for him. He leaves a command. He says, do not let this book of the law depart out of thy mouth. Do everything, well, meditate upon it day and night. Do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. Well, think about it. With us being born again, there is an inheritance that we automatically receive in being a born again Christian. But the only way you and I are going to be able to walk in that inheritance, we must not allow the book of the law, the word of God, to depart out of our mouth. Number two, we are to meditate upon it day and night, and then do everything written in it. Then we shall what? Find rest. There is an inheritance for us as a believer, an inheritance that where we are above and not beneath, that where our hands, everything that our hands touch, that it is blessed, that where our going in and our coming out, that we are blessed. When it comes to sickness and disease, it cannot defeat us. That is our inheritance. But if we do not know that that is our inheritance, there is no way that we can walk in that inheritance just like Jesus did. Think about it. Jesus said, learn from me, learn of me, and you and I will find rest unto our souls. I even remember when I started being a doer of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And at this time, I had met Kim, and that was April 24th, 2003. And there I was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And fast forwarding, I moved home here in July 2005. And so I knew that I was to move home because I was conforming no longer to the pattern of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I was finding out the perfect will of God for my life at the time. And so I moved home. And so when I got home, unpacked the budget truck, then everything's in storage. You know, I called Kim, and we weren't dating at the time. But I was like, I said, hey, you know, I made it home. Just wanted to let you know all is well. I'm safe. It's good. And I said, oh, yeah, by the way, I don't want you to call me. I'll call you. And just like now, it was silence, just like this. And I mean, Kim thought I was crazy. And, you know, at the time, I think that was Verizon when that, you know, like, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Hello, hello. Well, that's exactly how I was. And so I was like, are you there? You know, she was like, yes, I'm here. I'm here. And then she, you know, said, and what did you say? You know, with the, and what did you say? I was like, oh, wow. You know, yeah, right. Excuse me. And so I knew immediately that I had to respond quick because I didn't want to click up, you know. And so I was like, I said, what I am saying is that I know that you are a good woman. But I want to make sure that I am good for you because I don't want to mess up your life. Now, you know, being honest, the flesh, you know, I was ready to drop down on one knee, you know, and propose to her and everything. But I wanted to make sure that rest was on the other end of her saying, I do, I will, that I will marry you. So I wanted to make sure I had some rest. And so I was like, hey, let me pull back from hearing your voice so much that I want to continue to learn of God. I want to continue to learn of his will. And so I knew I was called to Word of Life Church here. And so here I am. I'm volunteering praise and worship there on Highway 18. And so I'm like, OK, Lord, I know this is your plan for me. This is your plan for my life. So now I'm working a job that travels all throughout the week. And so when it would come to Wednesday night, sometimes I would make service, sometimes I wouldn't make service. And man, when I would not make service at Wednesday night, I'm talking about a brother was hot. I mean, I was even trying to come up with ways to call in sick. I was even trying to come up with ways, you know, call and say, oh, the customer's not there. There's no need in going out there. But I knew I wouldn't be telling the truth. So I was like, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me out. You know, I know I'm called here. I'm missing leading praise and worship. You know, you got to help me out. And all I heard was, do what you can do now. I'm like, what? Do what I can do now? I'm like, Lord, this is Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Mississippi. I'm like, Lord, two different states, two different times, two different places. How can I do what I can do now? And that's all I heard. Do what you can do now. So I kept thinking. I'm like, oh. And this is what happened. On Wednesday nights that I would be out of town, I would text Jay, be like, brother, I can't make it. Oh, I'd be hot. Brother, I can't make it. And he'd be like, OK, we got it. We'll handle it. So I would make sure on Wednesday nights there in the hotel that we would get to the hotel by 6:15. So we'll get there. We'll check in the room, drop the luggage off. I grab a Bible out and I run down to the hotel lobby. So then I'm sitting at the hotel lobby looking at my watch. All right, 6:30. What am I doing? I'm envisioning just like I'm at church in Mississippi. Yeah, I thought too. I thought I was being super spiritual too. But the Lord was saying, do what you can do now. Well, that was the only thing that I could do. So there I am in a hotel lobby and 6:30 hits. So I'm like, OK, they're warming up. So, you know, I'm envisioning them warming up, you know, mic check, 1, 2, you know, my father, I adore you. You know, I'm going through the whole, you know, and so 6:45 hit. And I'm like, oh, they taking a break, you know, may do a bathroom break or just speak to somebody in the congregation. So I get up, you know, from the chair there in the hotel lobby and I just walk out and everything. Then I come back, you know, it's 6:50. Now, no one knew what I was doing in the hotel lobby. I didn't do a church service there. You know, it was just me and my personal time with the Lord. So 6:50 hit. I knew the praise team was praying for the service. So what am I doing? I'm praying for the service. 6:59 hit. I'm like, oh, praise and worship team. They walking out on the platform. So I'm envisioning, hey, I'm walking out on platform with them. Yeah, you know. So like 7 o'clock hit. I said, I don't know who doing the greeting, but somebody doing the greeting. But I said, after the greeting, we're going to lead praise and worship. So I sing all of the songs right there under my breath, right there in the hotel lobby. So 7:20, 7:22 hits. I'm like, oh, Pastor Joel is coming up to speak. So I pray for my personal study time, just like how Pastor Joel is about to pray for the service, then I pray for him also. So now from 7:25 to about 8:02, 8:03, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing my personal time. What am I doing? I'm learning. I'm doing what I can do now. So there I am in my personal time. 8:02 hits. Oh, all right, Pastor Joel is closing out the service. So guess what? I close out my personal study. Friends, I can't tell you how I thought I was being super spiritual. I can't tell you how many hotel lobbies from Georgia to Tennessee to Louisiana to Arkansas that I was doing that. And next thing I know, here I am. That was July 2005. Come October 2006, I am on staff at Word of Life Church. Never do I have to wonder about, Lord, am I going to miss church service? Never do I have to worry about, Lord, oh, I don't want to text Jay. You know, I'm here to lead praise and worship. The only time that I will miss a Wednesday night is when I'm on vacation. But how did I get there? doing what I could do at the time. So even in that time, I was learning of God. And like I said, did it seem super spiritual? Oh, yes, it did. But friends, it's so much rest standing here with you. It's so much rest when I'm leading praise and worship. Notice Jesus gave us the responsibility, what? To learn of him. When we're learning of him, we're learning what? His perfect will for our lives. We're learning his ways, his truth, and his life. And out of that, guess what? We're going to find rest. Give you one more example before I close. It was a couple of months back, about 3-4 months ago. I was coming home from church on a Wednesday night. And, you know, the Lord was just telling me, he was like, Earl, you're too busy, son. You need to pray for Chase. You're not praying for Chase how you should. Chase is my Kim and I 11-month-old baby boy. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I repent of that. You know, forgive me. So, you know, we started praying for Chase every night. Well, 3 weeks later, Chase is running a fever. He's not eating like how he used to. And I mean, Chase eats. I mean, when you see Chase, you'd be like, oh, man, yeah, that brother eats. That brother does not miss a feeding. And he will let you know if you are 30 seconds behind schedule. He does not miss a feeding. So, yes, you know, he's not eating properly. Then his fontanelle, his soft spot is bulged. So, you know, we call the nurse there for the pediatrician, and she tells us, that's symptoms of like meningitis. So, you know, we go to the emergency room there. And so we get in an emergency room and, you know, just sitting there, you know, talking. And I'm like, Lord, why are we here? I mean, you told me to pray 3 weeks ago and we prayed. We did that. I'm like, Lord, I go to a faith church. Go to a word church. You know what I'm saying? I'm on staff. I lead praise and worship. We sing faith songs. You know, why are we here? And then at that time, the doctor comes in and tell us the different tests that they're going to have to run. And I'm like, man, really? You know what I'm saying? This don't even supposed to be going on. You know, it was after 10:30 at night. You know, I'm normally in my bed asleep. You know, but we up here in the emergency room, and I'm sitting here like, Lord, what is it? What's going on? 3 weeks ago, we prayed. I mean, why are we here? And all I heard was, what did you learn? I'm like, what? What did I learn? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, what did you learn? I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. So what did Kim and I do? I said, come on, babe, we got to pray. We got to do what we learned. So we laid hands on Chase, basically just saying, meningitis, you got to go. Meningitis, you don't belong here. Meningitis, when Chase was created, you were not here. And so what do? We bind meningitis. We say, you got to go in the name of Jesus. Meningitis, you are a name. Jesus is a name. The name that's above every name. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Chase is healed. There will be no sign of meningitis when this test comes back. We thank you, Lord. He's healed in Jesus' name. Now, no immediate results. Still look the same. Fever. Bulging fontanelle. And still not his normal self. So they come in and they run the CAT scan. And I mean, Chase goes through that. I mean, he is squalling. Oh, he's squalling. So comes back hour later. Test results negative. No sign of meningitis. I'm like, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then after that, doctor comes back in. Oh, we, of course, didn't find it through the CAT scan. Now we're going to have to do a spinal tap. So they tell us about a spinal tap with the spinal cord and the wrist. I'm like, Lord, why are we here? Then we sign the papers and all. They talk to us about it. And so they ask us to move away from the bed that we're at the foot of the bed. And oh, man, when we move, I mean, Chase, oh, he hit some soprano notes. I'm talking about this brother was hollering, screaming because he didn't see us at the time. And so here it is. I see this man that I don't even know holding my baby boy in a position. And I got to tell you, my flesh, I wanted to go upside this brother's head. I'm like, man, you sitting up here holding my son in his fetal position. The flesh, think about it, the flesh. The flesh is talking. The flesh always talk. The flesh is always against in that of what Jesus wants you to do. So there I'm in the flesh, and I'm standing. I'm like, man, this dude is holding, you know, Chase. Chase can't move. He's looking for us. He's screaming at the top of his voice. He's so loud, Kim has to walk up out of the room. And there I am just standing there, and I'm like, why, Lord, why are we here? And all I hear is, what did you learn? What did you learn? And I said, Lord, you know what? That's right. Thank you for reminding me again. I said, Lord, I thank you now in Jesus' name. We've already prayed. So, Lord, I continue to stand on the word that Chase is the healed of you. Not only that, just like the first test came back negative, this test will come back negative. Not only that, thank you that you are guiding the hands of that doctor when it goes into that spinal cord the first time, will pull out that fluid that's needed and will hit the right spot. It happened, hit the right spot. So, you know, pulls it out. She's like, oh, I got it. So I run over there to Chase, cover him up. And I'm like, hey, it's okay, it's okay. You know, and I wipe the tears from his eyes. And at that time, at 8 months, you know, his language was glangra, gringrangra, you know, glangra, you know. And so he's touching my face, glangra, glangra, you know, just smiling. And I'm smiling back at him, and I'm saying it too, glangra, 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 glangra. And so we're there together, and it was at that moment that I realized that just as I was there covering Chase and saying, hey, it's all right, Daddy got you, everything is fine, that God was saying, oh, son, that's the same way I am, and that when you learn my word and when you put my word into action, there I am on the scene wiping every single tear from your eye, and you will be standing in victory. And we left that hospital, fever gone down, no sign of meningitis, and the fontanelle sunk. Amen. Meaning in its normal state, it was not bulged anymore. Well, how did we get there? What did we learn? That's all I heard. What did we learn? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you the question. Can you pull up Ephesians 2:10 for me in Amplified? I ask you the question, what are you learning? Asking myself the question, what am I learning? It's good to come to church and take notes, read the word, but what are we doing in our personal time, in our private time? See, it's up to you and I. It's our responsibility. Jesus said, hey, come learn. Learn. I'm here. I'm here. No limits. All access. We're saved, born again. We can approach him any time of the day, riding down the street with a Krispy Kreme donut. We can approach him. Lord, thank you for this donut. But Lord, I also thank you for the car that I'm driving right now. But Lord, I thank you are a good God. I read in your word that where you said that you loved me so much, John 3:16. Well, what are you doing? You're keeping the word of God on your lips. You're meditating upon it. Then you're doing everything written in it. And what? Prosperous, successful. What? You're going to find rest as you learn of him. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. The good life is already made ready for us to live. But the only way you and I are going to walk and experience that good life, we daily have to learn of Jesus. We daily have to put the word of Jesus what into action. And out of that, we will find rest. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest, the recipe for rest is in your lap. What are you going to do with it? Will you treat it as a snack? Or will you treat it as an eternal buffet? What are you going to do with it? You know, it's good to learn of iPhone, the different apps we can add. And, you know, what we can put on the iPhone, but not at the expense of what? Rest. It's good to know about Twitter and how it works and, you know, how my new iPad works and, you know, the sale at Belk, you know what I'm saying? And the Black Friday good sale that's about to come up in November that everybody's going to be up at 5 a.m. in the morning. You're even going to have people that's going to be sleeping over Thursday night just to catch the sale. Mercy. It's okay. Catch the sale. Catch it, but not at what? The expense of rest. You know, it's good to learn about Alabama Roll Tide. Roll, yes, they're going to be LSU this weekend, but not at the expense of rest. I had to throw that in because I know some LSU buddies of mine in here, so, you know. But not at the expense of rest. So I want to encourage you, even encourage myself. Let's daily learn of Jesus. Let's daily learn of his word so we can experience the life that he has for us. A life of victory, a life of joy, a life of rest, a life of peace, a life that where we're the overcomer, just like how he was here on earth. Jesus defeated every single thing that came his way. Nothing couldn't stop him. Even when Satan thought he had him defeated on the cross, it was quiet for a couple of days and they was throwing a party up down in hell. But Jesus went down in hell and said, hey, party is over. The word is here. I'm coming to take back that authority. Not only did he take that authority back, he gave it to us. What? The keys to the kingdom, that whatever we bind on earth, he will bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. But we got to use the key. We have to realize we have the keys. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you the question again. The recipe for rest is in your lap. Will you treat it as a snack? Or will it be your eternal buffet? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we just thank you.